This is Great FM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Great FM. Ahalya here, keeping you company on another podcast. Excited to be back on the series. And today's conversation, interestingly, is going to be a sum of a few others that we have had on the series before. If you're a loyal listener, you will have tuned into our podcast around psychological safety, the importance of reward and recognition in the workplace, you know, things around that area, right? Valuing your workforce and how that contributes to the success and growth of an organization, because yes, it absolutely can. But all roads kind of lead to one place. And that's what's exciting me about today's conversation, because, you know, everything that I just mentioned comes under this umbrella, this blanket of happiness, right? It's a bullseye I think we're all trying to hit at any point in our lives, not just, you know, professional, but personal as well. But the thing with happiness is it isn't a bullseye. All of our cheesy self-help books, philosophies, they'll always tell you that it's not a destination, right? It's a journey. And I think that applies to organizations as well, right? At any given point, the happiness that one can experience in a workplace, not only is it achievable, but it's a lifelong organizational pursuit. It has to be. And it's a very simple equation, but I've never been very good at math. And I dare say that a lot of companies are still trying to crack the code. So for all of you HR professionals out there interested in understanding how we can really make our workforce and our workplace a happy one, let's dive into this conversation. It's the one for you. Please welcome Dr. Ashish Ambastha, who is the founder CEO of Happy Plus Consulting, and actually has a very unique doctorate on happiness at the workplace. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ashish. It's great to have you here.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, awesome. So let's get into this conversation. When it comes to happiness, I think there's a very obvious antidote to it, which is a dose of cynicism that we see a lot of the times, not just in our workplaces, but outside in the world as well. There's many organizations and, you know, people, leaders, even HR professionals out there who I think still believe that work is not about happiness, right? It's about functionality, making a living, productivity. So I want to start the conversation today with just your opinion on that kind of approach and maybe how detrimental it can be.
So if you had asked this question before pandemic, I would have said that yes, around 70 to 80% leaders think like this. But if now since pandemic is over and it gave us a very good jolt on what we are doing, why we are doing, what's right. All productivity is all about, what's all functionality is all about. At the end of the day, if you are not happy, then what we are doing. So right now, if you ask me, that particular population is come down dramatically. So I think it will be 25 to 30%. And 70% will feel that happiness is important. And that's why we are thriving as a company for last 4 years, because we see a lot of companies being very interested to understand how can we make life happier for people. Because just a small statistics that approximately in India, an average person spends around 80 to 85,000 of their life at their workplace. And if they are not happy with what they are doing, then obviously a major part of your waking hour you have wasted, right? So it's like chasing what? So people have realized this, that I need to be happier. And I can tell you that younger people, they have prioritized this very clearly, that I don't want to get into a job which is boring, which does not take care of me as an individual and does not provide me happiness. So whether these leaders know or accept or does not accept, the change has already taken place. People are very, very keenly looking for happiness at workplaces.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think, you know, on one of our previous podcasts, we also did touch upon the idea of purpose, right? And how that's become a major priority for people at the workplace to actually be able to tap into their purpose. But I think in the workplace context, there's also a combination of many things. And today's episode, we're also trying to focus on, you know, the scientific backing towards, you know, happiness at the workplace. So can you tell us a little bit about the psychological factors and the safety, psychological safety that can be a guiding factor in making the workplace a happy one?
I will tell you something even before that. You know, what is work and why people come to work? We need to understand this. So as human beings, we have been gifted with our brain. And once the basics like food, shelter, and clothes are taken care of, the human nature always wants to achieve something.
Yeah.
And they want a place where they can express their talents and create something which they can marvel and they can be proud of. I think that is the fundamental reason why people come to work.
Right.
Now, if I go to a workplace where I don't experience any of this, then it's like a drudgery for me because I'm doing something because it pays my bill. It is something which is important for me to do. Not necessarily I'm liking it. Not necessarily I'm creating something which I'm proud of.
Right.
And not necessarily which gives me intrinsic happiness. Now, coming to what you said, that what exactly creates happiness at workplaces? Two things. One is this particular feeling that do I get to do what I love doing every day? If the answer is no, then obviously you will not like coming back to your work. Second is, maybe I don't like what I do every day, but I can see that there is a larger purpose. So what I'm trying to say, one hand you have got application of your talent and other hand you have got purpose. If I have a workplace where both of these are combined, then that's the heaven for me. This is the basic fundamental of workplace happiness. And I think we have just complicated it too much, you know, by different jargons. But
yeah.
I think if we can provide these two things to people, we'll be good.
Thank you so much for actually articulating that and simplifying it for all of us today. I think that definitely it also makes the idea of happiness at workplace feel achievable. Sometimes I think the hesitance, right, is that I don't know if I can actually facilitate this. I don't know how to even start doing this for my workforce and for my professionals and my colleagues. So I think approaching it with this kind of clarity is definitely helpful. To flip the coin a little bit, Ashish, I think an important approach sometimes is also knowing what not to do. So if you were to shine a light on some of the harmful behaviors that you've probably seen, you know, in your own personal experience of trying to make workplaces happier, some harmful behaviors that can cause a lot of damage, I think.
Again, I will give the answer on two parts.
Yeah.
One, what employers should not be doing and
right.
what employees should not be doing. Both
yeah.
sides. You know, employers should not try to make their people happy. Why I'm saying that? Because you cannot make people happy.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, happiness is an individual choice. I can choose to be unhappy even if you give me everything.
Right.
So from my perspective, there is something called set point, which a researcher called Sonja Lomborski has spoken about in her book, How of Happiness, where she says that everybody is born with a particular set points and it contributes 50% of the happiness which the person has. So for example, I am somebody who is born with a high set points, and I truly believe that because the way I behave, react to different situations, even if things are not going well for me, I will still find, okay, fine, I'll find a way out of here. But then there are people whose set points are low. So that means that even if I've got a promotion, it's like, oh, so what? Everybody gets promotion. Oh, my son got 97%. So what? There are 100 more people who have got 98%. So they have reactions like this. Now imagine that I'm trying to make everybody happy with one thing. And then my set point is something which does not gets me excited of what you are offering as an HR, then obviously it is making me more unhappy. So that's where I said that let people choose what things makes them happy, create an environment where they can pursue what they want to pursue and experience happiness and come. You can just measure it and then say whether you are, what you have done is in the right direction or not. And if not, then you can ask for suggestion, what can be done. So when companies feel that they should do things to make people happier, that's when people have got two reactions. One, you can't make me happy because it's my choice.
Right.
And second, the company spends a lot of time, money and energy and then realize things have not changed. So they go back to this behavior that, okay, I don't think happiness is important and I should not drive.
Right.
That's the one part. Second is, as an employee, you should not expect your company to make you happy. It's your choice. And that's where I will say, instead of indulging into behaviors where, you know, since you did not give me this, I'm unhappy. Since my boss is not right, I'm unhappy. There can be thousands of reasons why you are not happy. What you need to do is you need to find what makes you happy and how can you experience that. So I always say this, and that's the fundamental on which Happy Plus is built,
yeah.
that we need to take accountability of your own happiness. So stop blaming somebody else for your own happiness or unhappiness. And remember, you have a choice. Whatever situation you are in, I am of a fundamental belief that everybody can change their destiny. If they can change their excuses from something which we can do. So action, changing excuses is something which is the defining moment of any hero or any story. And I think that's what we need to do. Don't blame, don't make somebody else hero of your life. Take charge and be happy.
You know what? I think that's adding a little bit of philosophy to the conversation as well, because again, it's something that people tell us, right? As we grow up, as we move through life. And also very interesting, Ashish, the idea of not really trying to facilitate happiness, but trying to facilitate the certain environments, right? Or cultures that can allow people to choose happiness if they wanted to. That's an important aspect. Thank you so much for bringing that up. But also, you know, that begs the question, do you personally believe that there is merit in considering happiness to be cultural, to be a cultural tenet within the organization? Is that a mindset you think people should definitely employ?
Absolutely. I will give you a lot of examples. Like Richard Branson always says that you take care of your people, make them happy, they will make your customers happy.
Yeah.
Zappos, Tony Hsieh, the company which they used to sell shoes online. And they used to say that we are not selling shoes. We are selling happiness to people.
Yeah.
Because in every interaction, people should say, wow, this is amazing. And we all know from where to where the shoe company went. Right?
Yeah.
People, leaders who understand this, they understand the basic psychology of the person, that why somebody will give their best, because they feel, as you rightly said, there is a psychological safety that I can try things. If I fail, there are people who can take care of me. I can learn something. I can grow. And fundamentally, I feel good about what I do.
Absolutely. And if I could just contribute a little bit, this conversation is happening in a very serendipitous moment for me personally, Ashish, because I've also, you know, had an interesting past 2-3 weeks at work. And the last point that you made just now about if a person is happy, they'll want to make everything around them happier. And it's kind of infectious, right? It's contagious in a way. That's so very true, because just to bring something to a happy place takes a bit of effort and takes a bit of time. And I think patience is also quite key. You know, my last question for you, the words HR and happiness, I don't think often exist together. But again, like we've emphasized on this podcast, you know, HR has a big role to play in an organization's success. It's not just a people profession. It's integral, I think, depending on the approach you take, to the growth, right, of an organization, tapping into its potential. It's an incredibly strategic function, right, when given the chance. So for all of the HR professionals out there who are maybe pondering on how to make their workplace a happier one, what is your advice?
It's all in the definition. HR means human resources. HR also means happy resources.
Aww.
Right? So if we think in a manner in which we understand that a happier employee means happier customer, means happier business, you know, for everyone, I think we'll be striving for this. The companies where I work in creating this culture, what do I do? And I work with the HR team only, because they are the ones who can change the DNA of the organization.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaders are always busy in numbers, data, investors. But who takes a step back and say, okay, I'm also selling a soap. You're also selling a soap. What is the difference? Is the difference is that the person who is behind making that soap or bringing it to the customer, how happier they were in terms of they doing this. So unnecessarily, HR creates processes without understanding whether it is impacting my happiness. Is it making me happy or is it making me unhappy?
Right.
And each of the process, if you closely watch, there is an opportunity for us to add happiness. Just for an example, if you are hiring someone in your company, and the typical run-of-the-mill thing is, I will send you an offer letter and come and join on this particular day. What if I send the letter to your parents and then say, wow, what a wonderful person you have raised. We checked from different parameters on the interviews. We asked different questions, difficult questions, and she's like, super. Now this letter goes to the person, parent, and just imagine the level of happiness the person will feel, which will be there throughout. So what I'm trying to say is that a mundane process, which is to manage human resource, can be converted into creating a happy resource. And each of the processes needs to be looked very closely, and you'll find there are opportunities. And that's what we do.
That's a really beautiful anecdote, actually. I really hope some people practice that. Thank you so very much, Ashish. Absolutely fantastic conversation so far. You know, one of those episodes on Great FM where some of our intuitive feelings or perceptions about things have been changed a little. I'll take the liberty of saying that on behalf of everyone listening as well. So, you know what, Ashish, just before we sign off and I let you go, not that I want this conversation to end really, but before we sign off, handing over the mic to you to shine a light on maybe three sustainable practices for workplace happiness from, you know, anyone's perspective, the employer or the employee, that can, you know, help us get to this happy place.
From my perspective, the people who can make a lot of difference in the organizational culture is your leaders. So the first practice is for leaders that apart from your usual business metrics review, you should also put a metric around how happy your people are. And this should be reviewed along with your business performance and customer performance. That's number one. Number two is for managers, apart from asking people what they are supposed to do and what they should do, you should also ask every day morning, how do they feel? And if they can do something to help them, they do their work better. So that's for managers. And for HR, I think they should run a campaign around catching people doing good. Just catch them. And I think it should spread like a disease for everyone. In the entire organization, there is a sense of what's going right. And if you can do an awesomeness session once in a week or 15 days where people come together and just speak about their awesomeness stories, it will be really fantastic.
Those were great suggestions. I think I'm going to head back and try to implement some of those myself. Thank you once again, Ashish. It's been a pleasure catching up with you on this episode of Great FM, having you here to really, you know, bust some of our myths about happiness and how it can be achieved. It's been a really valuable contribution today.
Pleasure is all mine. Thanks you for having me here and a very happy World Happiness Day.
Yes, a very happy World Happiness Day to all of us. And here's to hoping, you know, we can all in our little ways choose happiness and, you know, make the workplace and the world a better place eventually. Thanks once again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you very soon with another episode of Great FM. But in the meantime, stay safe. And you know what I always say, stay happy.
This is Great FM.